I want to tell you some secrets about credit cards that they don't necessarily want you to know. Now, secrets are interesting, but why should you care? Well, we should all care. Credit cards are big business in this country. Most of us carry credit cards. They affect many aspects of our everyday life. You need to understand what's going on. Let me tell you what I mean. A few years ago, the Consumer Federation of America estimated that, as a society, we charge more than $1 trillion a year on our credit cards. As a society, we pay more than $60 billion in interest a year. The average household has credit card debt of $6,000 to $7,000, and the average household has approximately 13 credit card accounts. Boy, here's a situation where I really want you to be less than average. Consumer debt is going up 10% a year. This is just unbelievable. It's very difficult to rent a car, get a tow, purchase airline tickets, or buy something over the internet without a credit card. Almost all of us have credit cards, so this should be a topic of interest to everyone. If you stick with me 30 minutes, I'll show you how not to get ripped off and save money by exposing some of the dirty little secrets that the credit card industry does not necessarily want you to know. Don't get me wrong, I don't believe that credit cards are evil. But I do believe that it's becoming more and more of a game. I do believe this game is becoming more and more dangerous because of the high interest rates. And I do believe that, unfortunately, this game is becoming less and less truthful. And this concerns me a great deal. Now, I know you also may be thinking at this point, why is Dave Hagen telling me this? You may know that I'm a bankruptcy attorney, and if that's the case, you know that solving problems for people in financial trouble is what I do for a living. At first blush, it may not seem very smart for someone who does this to take time out to teach people how to avoid these problems. Well, I expose these secrets for two reasons. First, I think, unfortunately, that there will always be enough financial problems to keep my office busy. Second, this is my way of equaling the playing field between credit card companies and the public. I just think this needs to be done. Now, during this tape, you may get the impression that I get a kick out of revealing these secrets. Well, the truth is I do, and you will be the benefactor of that enjoyment today. So what I want to do for the next 30 minutes is give you 5 sneaky secrets about the credit card industry. Along the way, I will also give you 2 bonus tips on how to save money on your credit card accounts. Secret 1. It might not surprise anyone that the number one sneaky secret is that credit card debt is by far the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States. I would estimate that more than 98% of all the bankruptcy cases involving individuals involves credit card debt. Now, this debt is usually caused by something else. Illness, divorce, death, or the loss of a job are usually the biggest causes. I see someone needing to file bankruptcy as a lot like getting into a car accident. A safe driver, or in the financial sense, a saver, can still get into a crash. It's just that their probability of getting into a crash is probably less. However, I have represented many savers in my bankruptcy practice since I began in 1983. Conversely, fast drivers are probably statistically more likely to get into an accident. The same is true of someone whom I would characterize as a spender. There does seem to be a bit of randomness to the need to file bankruptcy. This is probably because the causes many times occur at random. The loss of a job or an illness usually comes right out of the blue. A very typical scenario is a husband and a wife who both work and perhaps are carrying a bit more debt than they should. They can service this debt, but it's taking its toll. One of their incomes goes away from the loss of a job, a dissolution, or illness, and many times they're in trouble as quickly as 90 days. Now, if they've had the foresight to accumulate savings, like we recommend, it may allow them to put the trouble off until their savings are used up. Many times, these same individuals will allow debt to pile up on their credit cards. Unfortunately, this is the most dangerous place to allow debt to accumulate in times of financial trouble. Many times these credit cards have interest rates of 21% or more. I've actually seen credit cards that have 29% interest rates, by the way. When this occurs, it's very difficult, if not almost impossible, for them to earn out of this problem. Interestingly enough, I've seen many people who finally decide to file for bankruptcy completely frustrated, not by the amount of the debt, but the fact that the interest which is charged almost completely absorbs their monthly payment. When they realize that they're not getting ahead, this is the final factor which finally puts them over the top in terms of deciding to file for bankruptcy. Credit card debt is very, very dangerous. Avoid it at all costs. Secret 2. Due dates. Now, there are two different issues regarding due dates that I want to reveal. The first involves the grace period. The grace period is the time that you have to pay off the card without incurring any interest. It used to be that it was fairly standard for most cards to have 25 or 30-day grace periods. Many cards are now shrinking this debt down to 20 days or less. I've heard of situations where someone almost had to turn around and pay the bill the next day in order to have the funds arrive in sufficient time to avoid paying any interest or late fees. There's now legislation on this issue, so the grace period cannot shrink quite too much more. If you are someone who pays their account current every month, you should check to ensure that you're not being charged a fee. Although I understand that some credit card companies have now even taken to charging fees for people that always pay within the grace period. The second area involving due dates is late posting. This is the period of time from when you write the check to when it is credited against your account. I recently had a situation where it took 10 days for a check of mine to get across the country and be credited to my account. Well, quite frankly, in 10 days, I could have almost walked the check across the country. Now, the issue may not be how long it took to get across the country. Rather, sometimes the issue is how long the check sits in a pile at the credit card company before it's credited to your account. The credit card companies aren't particularly motivated to be efficient in this regard. Why? If the check sits around before it's credited, you will incur a late fee. These late fees can range from $5 to $25. In fact, I recently saw an example where someone was charged a late fee of $29. How did the credit card company, by the way, come up with exactly $29 as a late fee? My guess is it's the largest amount that they thought they could get away with without there being a huge public outcry. Unfortunately, people in trouble are the ones who are usually paying their bills late and can least afford to pay $29 a month. Now, here's a quick tip for you. If you mail your check late but before the due date and it gets there late, you can call and request that the late fee be removed. Sometimes this is even true if you mailed the check a day or two late. If you have a good credit history, they will almost always remove the late fee. Now, there's a number of reasons why they'll do this. First, this is absolutely totally found money for them. Secondly, they don't want to lose you as a customer over a $29 late fee. Lastly, they don't want to irritate so many people so that they start looking into these types of practices. Every month, make sure that your check gets there in time so as to avoid the fee. Read your statement every single month like it's your favorite magazine. It takes some time to read your monthly credit card statement because they're all designed differently. I really hate doing this. However, spend the time to ensure that they're not making additional money on you through late fees. Secret 3. Sneaky secret number 3 is fees on cash advances. Show me someone who is consistently cash advancing, and I'll show you someone in extreme financial trouble. A cash advance is where someone gets cash from their credit card. Unless this is a one-time kind of thing like when you're in Vegas, you're probably in trouble if you're cash advancing. In fact, some might say if you're taking cash off your credit card while you're in Vegas, you're in trouble too, although that's a different kind of trouble. Now, the problem with this is that banks usually charge a transaction fee and a higher interest rate on cash advances. The reason is because cash advances are typically more risky loans. Remember that I said that someone who is cash advancing is usually in trouble? This means that there's more risk to the lender, and this is how they justify the higher interest rate. The completely ironic thing is that if the same individual later needs to file bankruptcy, cash advances are one of the key indicators the credit card companies look towards when they attack someone's bankruptcy. I find this absolutely incredible. By the way, the same is true with balance transfers. Money moving between accounts is not usually a good idea unless it's done fairly and frequently. Opening and closing accounts doesn't look good on your credit card report, and large chunks of money moving around could be a problem should you ever have to resort to bankruptcy. The totally ironic thing is that banks are sending out millions and millions of solicitations encouraging this type of activity. All right, let's step back from the sneaky secrets for a moment, and I want to give you a bonus tip. This bonus tip is that if you purchase a retail item on a no-interest-until basis, all of the interest usually comes back if you don't pay in full on time. In LA, there's an electronic retailer, or rather several retailers, that are always advertising no payments until 6 months or a year from now. I even saw a promotion where no payments were due for a full 18 months. There are several problems with these types of loans. The biggest problem is that if the loan is not completely paid off on time, many contracts provide that all the interest is then added to your account retroactively back to the date of purchase. It's no surprise that the interest rate on these things can be as high as 27%. Apparently, these retailers have figured out that a certain number of people will be lulled to sleep and miss the due date. The interest they pay will offset the substantial discount which all the other purchasers got from not having to pay for some period of time. Now let's think this through. If you don't have to pay for a year and you're getting, say, 10% interest on the money which you have in the bank, not paying for a year is the equivalent of getting a 10% discount on something that you're purchasing. This is a good deal. Now, with this in mind, I went to a store and told them I wanted a 10% discount because I was ready to pay in cash right then. It may not surprise you that this proposal didn't go over too well. They require that you charge the item and open up an account so that you will run the risk of missing the due date and paying all that interest retroactively. The only way to really take advantage of this is to put the money in the bank and draw interest before you have to pay. However, if you do this, you need to mark the date on your calendar when the payment is due. In fact, in light of the late posting issues which I discussed earlier, you may want to mark a day 10 to 15 days in advance of the due date to ensure that they get their payment on time. Another problem with these types of loans is that it is very difficult to pay full price when you've been using the washer, dryer, or television for a year. This is a psychological issue primarily, but it's real nonetheless. I will admit to you that I purchased a washer and a dryer from a large national chain a few years ago and was persuaded to open up a credit card account where I didn't have to pay for 90 days. Now, I don't want to tell you where I was buying the washer and dryer because I don't want them to get mad at me for disclosing their secrets. However, I can tell you that the brand name was Kenmore. Now, when the washer and dryer were delivered, it was fabulous. It was almost like getting something for free because they were delivered and installed and brand new and shiny and we hadn't even had to pay. However, 90 days later, it was difficult to pay in full. Now that the washer and dryer had a couple of nicks on the front, the lint trap was full and some clothes were piled on top. If you purchase something this way, you need to understand that the initial joy of getting something for free will be offset by the hassle of paying full price for something used somewhere down the line. Frankly, I just don't do those types of deals any longer. Let me give you another bonus tip while we're at it. That bonus tip is that paying minimum monthly is dumb. Usually, a minimum monthly payment consists of 1 to 3% of the outstanding balance. I have seen several sources indicate that if you pay this amount off every month, it can take as much as 20 or 30 years to repay this debt. We have a calculator on our website, that's bk-info.com, that can help you estimate how long this can really take. Accumulating money on a credit card is really like asking for a 21% loan that lasts 20 or 30 years. Who would knowingly do this? This is not smart money, as the commercial would have us believe. It's actually dumb money. The only reason people get into this situation is that they slowly get lured into building up balances on these accounts. This is great business for the credit card industry. I'd love to be in business and get a 21% return. The problem is that it's very poor business for the account holder. I even had a credit card company call me during the holiday season and indicate that they wanted to do me a favor for the holidays by waiving the need to make the payment in December. What a joke! If they really were interested in my well-being, they should have made me double up on my payment during the month of December. The sooner I paid off that small balance, the better. All right, enough of that. Secret 4. The fourth sneaky secret is that fees are negotiable. There are two areas where these fees are negotiable. The first is the membership fee. Most credit card accounts will waive the annual membership fee on the first call. Now, there are exceptions to this, most notably cards that confer additional benefits such as airline miles. If you're being charged a membership fee on any of your standard cards, call them today and tell them that you're getting solicitations from other companies that don't have membership fees and that you'll transfer your business to another account if they don't waive it. Now, if you're average, and I hope that you're not average in this regard, but if you're average and you have 13 credit cards in your household and the average membership fee is $50 per year, I just saved you $650. The credit card companies probably hate it when I let this information out. However, I enjoy it, and I promise you I won't stop revealing their secrets until they put me on retainer. If they do that, I won't be able to do this stuff anymore. The next area in which fees are negotiable is the interest rate. If you have a reasonably good credit history, a credit card company will negotiate with you on the interest rate. You simply call up and tell them that you want a lower interest rate because you're getting solicitations from other companies for lower rates. They will usually work with you. Let me give you a few examples. I recently had a credit card solicitation come to the house where they gave me a really great rate. Accordingly, I moved my small balance to that account and started using the card. 6 months later, I saw that the rate had climbed to 18%. I called them up and inquired as to why the interest rate had gone up by more than 200% in only a 6-month period. They told me that I only had a promotional rate for that 6-month period. My question to the person on the phone was then, well, how do I get promotional again? He indicated that all I needed to do was call every 6 months, and as long as my credit was good, they would grant me the promotional rate every 6 months. Hey, great! But why should we have to scrutinize every statement that comes to be sure that they don't jack up the credit card rate or ask to be promotional every 6 months? Again, this is becoming more and more of a game, and I want you to play the game better than them. I had a credit card company that solicited me for a guaranteed lowest rate. When I called and inquired as to how this could be possible, they asked that I send in my other credit card statements and they would give me a rate lower than those, guaranteed. Well, this is like playing poker by showing the other party your cards. This is a really bad way to negotiate. Obviously, I decided that I didn't want to do business with them, ever. Again, this has really become quite a game. When your credit card statement comes, you must read it, and it's getting tougher and tougher to figure these statements out. I went to law school for 3 years, and legalese and fine print are part of what they taught me. It's my business to understand this stuff. But I can barely figure it out sometimes, and sometimes I can't even figure it out. I wonder how people without legal training are supposed to get through these same statements. It's becoming a big game. Now, there's a big equalizer in terms of comparing interest rates. It used to be that a great deal of research was necessary to compare different credit card companies' interest rates. The credit card companies knew this took a lot of time to research and that most people wouldn't. As a result, they really had an advantage. The great equalizer is now the internet. There are many sites on the internet that compare information from various credit card companies. There are several good sites on the web that do this. Our website, again, bk-info.com, points our friends and clients to many of these different sites. If you can't get to our site, one of the other sites that I like is 4credit.com. That's the numeral 4credit.com. They have a list of companies for people who carry balances and a different list for people who typically don't carry balances and yet another list of companies for those people with bad credit. Check it out and migrate your business to the company that offers you the best business proposal. Find out what they're offering so that you can see their cards first. Don't send them your statement so that they can see your cards before you negotiate. Secret 5. The fifth sneaky secret is really an insidious one. The secret is that the credit card industry is trying to change the law. Essentially, they're trying to give the credit card companies, or all creditors for that matter, the same enforcement or teeth that the IRS has. This troubles me a great deal. On one hand, I have no problem with the credit card companies being able to solicit and solicit and solicit and solicit. I certainly don't like all the junk that comes in my mailbox. However, as a lawyer who was trained in law school to appreciate the benefits of the First Amendment, I certainly wouldn't want to have any legislation enacted that would restrict their right of free speech. However, by the same token, when people get trapped by this wave of solicitations, I think that there should be some small back door for them to get out of trouble if it arises. This back door is bankruptcy, and they're trying to close it. Financial institutions have been spending millions of dollars on campaign contributions over the past several years. Time magazine did a huge article exposing how this legislation is being pushed through Congress by huge campaign donations. Yet still no one is speaking out for the average American on this issue. Both the House and the Senate have passed the bill several times. In the past, Bill Clinton vetoed the legislation and prevented it from becoming law. He doesn't feel that it creates an equal balance between creditors and debtors. It remains to be seen how the new president will react to this legislation. The biggest issue with the new legislation is means testing. In a very simplified manner, here's how it'll work. If someone wants to file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy and their family unit makes more than approximately $50,000 per year, they will be allowed the monthly living expenses as approved by the IRS. Anything over this, with some exceptions, must go to the creditors for 5 years. For households with higher incomes, this means that the government will be telling them how much they can spend out of their future money. This may very well include people with additional needs for food or medicine. Now, yes, the new law provides that a debtor can petition the court for higher spending in any of these areas. However, should this really be allowed? It just doesn't seem to be part of the American tradition. Admittedly, there are some things in the bankruptcy code which can be clarified. There are some things in the bankruptcy code which needs to be changed. I know that there are some people who take advantage of this law, just like there are some people who take advantage of almost any law. But as a whole, most people who think about this issue agree that it's a bad idea. I almost hate to bring this whole issue up because the new law is so complicated that we will need to put much more time into a particular bankruptcy filing. This means that the fees which we charge for bankruptcy representation could very well triple. This is great for me, but I really wonder if this is what we need as a society. If you feel strongly about this, write your senator, write your member of the House of Representatives, even write the president. There's a place on our website that allows you to email them directly. Again, we probably need some reform, but we don't need this type of reform. Well, I hope that I've enlightened you a bit as to some of the ways in which the credit card companies are seeking to increase their profits at your expense. I hope that you are now smarter and will use your credit cards in a way that costs you less money. Pass this information on to a friend. The more people that know these secrets, the better. Again, it's become more and more of a game, and it's necessary for us to be more educated and spend more time looking at our statements so that you don't get ripped off. The next time you see a membership fee on your statement or a late fee on a payment that took 10 days to be deposited, I hope that you'll think back to our time that we spent here together today. More importantly, I hope you use the information which you now have to call that credit card company and get that charge removed. You know, the sneaky secrets that I'm talking about here today are not particularly complicated or difficult to understand. In fact, most of these things are actually quite simple. However, like so many things in life, you need to know about the simple things so that you can turn them around and use them for your benefit. Many times it's the simple things that are the most powerful things. Well, I hope that you found the time that we spent here together valuable. This is David Hagen wishing you the best of luck in your future financial affairs.